I despise. Well, I don't despise the dark, but I despise trying to do something in the dark. And once you lose some of your eyesight, you have to use glasses. You're always trying to get somewhere where the sun is shining or someplace where you can see, give yourself more light to be able to see what you're doing. Well, we talked about the salt last week and that we are the salt of the earth, but the Bible also teaches that we're the light of the world. But Jesus is the light. Actually, you and I, so I don't forget it, you and I are just reflectors. Have you ever noticed some nights when the moon is bright and it is really light outside? Have you noticed that when you go outside, the moon? We'll say the moon is really shining tonight. But you know what it is really doing? It's really reflecting tonight. It's really reflecting. It's reflecting off of the sun, or the sun's reflecting off of it. I mean, it's reflecting off the sun. The sun is making that. It just all comes from the sun. And in reality, our light all comes from the sun. Mine and your light comes from the Son of God. It comes from Jesus. What is taking place after you and I accept Christ as our Savior? He's working on us to build us into His image. He is constantly building us into His image to look like Him. How you doing? And when you look in the mirror, David Jeremiah say a few mornings ago, the guy that gives me the biggest trouble in life is the one I shave every morning. And absolutely, the next morning I was looking at that guy, and he's the one that gives me the most trouble. But when we look in the mirror and we see the reflection of Jesus, that is what He's after. And that ought to be what you and I are after. And we are to be light. Matter of fact, the Bible says that I'm going to read this, but let your light shine. Let your light shine, that men may see your good works and give you a big hand for what you're doing. No? And glorify your Father in heaven. Was I supposed to dismiss children's church and I didn't do it? So, children's church, if you're working in children's church or if you're involved in children's church, have at it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to charge you anything for that. Oh yeah, I was going to make an announcement and I forgot it. I'll do it while they're leaving. I cleared this with my wife. Gwen and I feel like that perhaps we've not been spending enough personal time with some church members. Just some real quality one-on-one type stuff. And so we're going to invite you to bring your family and meet us in Huntsville at an old house over there that we've bought. And we're going to move it to the farm in Carrollton. And you just bring a crowbar with you and we'll get to spend some real quality time together. How's that? Amen. I wanted to advertise that as we were going to give restoration classes and not charge anything for them. But y'all pray for us on that deal. That's a big deal. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 5. And verse 14, let's stand together as we give honor to the Lord. You know, I was thinking, when we were singing the worship songs, hey, you realize what the devil has stolen from us? How he's come to steal And what he has stolen from us, when he steals our joy, when he steals our happiness. I mean, how long has it been since you really just wanted to have a spell over the Lord? I mean, just a spell. Just got happy in the Lord. And just felt his presence and his power in your life that you could just hardly keep your feet on the ground. The devil wants to steal that from us. But I think that's what heaven's going to be like. Man. I had not noticed before all these songs about fragrance. It's going, you smell it before you get there. Man, it is great. It is going to be great. Let's talk about the light. Verse 14. You're the light of the world. You and me. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Are you reading it? Do you see it? And it gives light to all that is in the house. It gives light to all that is in the house. Wow. That's fantastic. That you and I as dads, as husbands, as grandparents, it gives light. Are you hearing me, church? It gives light to all that is in the house. Whatever is going on, it gives light to all that is in the house. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine. The example, he said, like a candlestick, the light that is in, let your light be like that. That's what he said. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we don't really know how to scratch the surface. We don't know how to get to where we want to be. Lord, we're so desperate. We're desperate for revival. We're desperate for this relationship with you. And Lord, the devil has, he's held us captive in so many ways. And in so much of our life, and many of us have spent the biggest part of our life in prison and in bonds and chains of the devil, and guilt and disappointments, when that's not what you meant for life to be. God, open our spiritual eyes and set us on fire with your fire today. I pray that you'd give me the words. It wouldn't be of me, it'd be of you. Please, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn over a few pages until you get to the Gospel of John and look at that very first chapter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And look at that very first chapter of John, and we'd figure out that we're only reflectors of that light because Jesus is the true light. Look down at verse 9. John 1 and verse 9. That was the true light, speaking of Jesus. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, he's the light. If we follow that, we follow him. John the Baptist was a reflector, and it says that in verse 6 and verse 7. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. He bears witness of the light. He's not the light, but he came to bear, in other words, he's a reflector of the light. He's another reflector of the light, just like you and I are reflectors of the light. He came to bear witness of the light. He came to be a reflector of the light. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Jesus, when he was talking about John, when he was talking about John the Baptist over in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, and by the way, that's John the Baptist is not the pensman of it's all the inspired, infallible Word of God, but he's not the pensman of the Gospel of John, but the Apostle John. And so when he's talking about John the Baptist in John 5 in verse 35, he says that John was a burning and a shining light. Now, he didn't just stop there. You see that description that he gives of John the Baptist? Can you get John the Baptist in your head? I think he was a wild man. Don't you? I mean, really. He was a wild man. He was out in the wilderness and he was eating honey and grasshoppers, and he had a leather girdle about his loins. I mean, he was dressed a wilderness man, and many believe that he'd taken the Nazarite oath, which means that you never cut your hair and never shave your beard. You get that picture? I mean, a wild man. I get somebody with curly hair in my mind whenever I see him. I mean, a big bushy beard and a big bushy head of hair. And here he is, a wild man, and he is telling people to repent. You see, God's ways are not our ways. We expect God to send a man with his voice, with a pinky ring on, and what do you call those things you put in your cuffs? Cufflinks. We expect God to speak to us through that kind of person. I don't think he can. I mean, but here God sends a wild man to preach the gospel, to be the reflector of the light. And people come to him by the groves. Why? Because they're drawn to this man? Because the Spirit of God draws them to this man. And that is why, and Jesus said, he was a bright and shining light. If you read the rest of that verse, it caught my attention this week. And you were willing to follow him for a little while. Folks are fickle, aren't they? They lose their energy so fast. They jump on this bandwagon and that bandwagon. Well, I'll follow this. I'll get on this. We started a church in Poinsett County in East Arkansas. And the first year, we baptized over 50 people. And college students came. I mean, we filled it with college students. I'm not against college students. I want you to understand. I'm for them. My father-in-law kept telling me, you can't build a church on college students. And, some folks have lots more college students than others, but they don't do a very good job at paying the bills. I don't know any other way to put that. They don't have any money. I've been in college before. But people will get on this bandwagon and that bandwagon. I went back. We were, I believe the last Sunday that we were there, we had about 75 in Sunday school. We were knocking the tops out of the trees. I mean, we were having folks saved all the time. I went back for a reunion, and I think they had 15 people there. The building was dilapidated. Boards were falling off the outside walls. It hadn't been painted in ages. It looked awful. I wanted to cry. I'm telling you, people are fickle, and they'll get on this bandwagon and that bandwagon. But when you get Jesus in your heart and you get on fire for them, that's where you, for Him, that's where you want to be at. That's where you want to be at. You want to make sure that you're not following a man. You want to make sure that you're following the man, Jesus Christ. And He said you followed Him for a while. And then when He got His head cut off, didn't nobody want to be around. People are fickle. If Jesus is the true light, are you hearing me today? If Jesus is the true light, there must be light. Now, I thought about that. There must be light that is untrue. So, this is what it must be. It looks like light, but it's really not light. They tell me that there's something called fool's gold that looks like gold, but it's really not the real stuff. It's really not gold. So Jesus is the true light, and if He says He is the true light, then there must be out there that is not true, untrue light. It appears to be light, but it is really not light. Now, I'm telling you folks that there's people by the thousands that are following untrue light. You know why that is? Because they're getting what they want rather than what they need. They're getting those desires filled some way that they need, but it's really not what, I mean, that they want. It's really not what they need, but it's what they want. You know, I've made lots of trips to the hospitals in Springdale, Rogers, and Fayetteville, Springfield, Little Rock. And in the afternoons, something comes over me. I get really sleepy and tired. And I found something that would cheer me up. I found something that would jar me into being able to stay awake and get home. If you'll stop at one of those convenience stores and get you a Snicker and a Mountain Dew, you'll be wired for the next 2.5 hours. And so I started stopping at convenience stores and getting Snickers and a Mountain Dew to stay awake. And look what it did to me. I'm telling you, it was what I wanted, but it wasn't what I needed. It was what I wanted, but it wasn't what I needed. And that's what the untrue light is all about. It's what people want, but it's not what they need. Your kids would eat candy until all their teeth fell out of their head if you just let them have it. I mean, you know better than that. You're not going to do that. And we shouldn't do it either. So there must be an untrue light. Look over at 2 Corinthians. Romans, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Hope I wrote that down right. 2 Corinthians 11, and look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Now look at this. Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And why should this surprise you? This is what the King James says. And no marvel. That means, why should this surprise you? And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So how do we determine the difference between untrue light and real light? How do you and I, because I tell you, I can be tricked, can't you? I mean, I can be fooled. So how do we tell the difference between that which is true, the true light, and that which is untrue light? Look with me at Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 11, look at verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Now here we go. Watch it. The light of the body is the eye. Now, there's going to be some different translations that translate that differently. But let me give you Lanny's translation. It's how you look at things. It's how you see it. If you look at it from your wallet, you're going to see it different than someone that doesn't look at it from the expense side of that. Now, I think that I have a little problem with this in some areas. Some of you would be able to identify it quicker than others. But when we start doing things in the church, I can't help myself sometimes, but what I'm rattling those dollar signs around in my mind thinking, how much is this going to cost? And some of you don't care what it costs, and you're the ones I worry about. No, I wish I was more that way. Really? And not look at it through those eyes. But it all depends on your perspective. It all depends on the eyes that you're looking through it at. And that's the way we determine the angel of light from the angel of dark. Because we see that this person that is directing things, that they're seeing it through an evil eye. That's what the Bible says, that they're looking at it through an evil eye. So this is what he says in Luke 11:33. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, that means clear. That means that when you're seeing it clearly. In other words, when you're looking at it from the perspective of the Lord, you're being able to see it clearly. You're not looking at it through rose-colored glasses. You're able to see it clearly. You know, these young men are looking at a girl. I don't know how to say this. She's dumb as a box of rocks. But she is good looking. And they're thinking, man, I'm going to marry this box of rocks. And they are not seeing clearly. And you try to talk to them about it. And their eyes glaze over. And they're saying, boy, does Papa know? He don't know. It has to do, if your eye is clear, in other words, if you're looking at it from the perspective of the Lord, you're looking at it through Scripture, you're seeing what the Bible says. Don't tell me what the Bible says. I had a little boy, we've always took a lot of kids to camp, but we took a big group from Tuckerman to camp, and one of the little boys that went with us, this is a third grade through sixth grade boy, his name was Stephen. He was a big mama's boy. I mean, I thought when he got on with his suitcase, he won't last 3 hours. He did last one night. The next day, he wanted to call his mama to come and get him. And I said, Stephen, sit down here on this bunk. Now let's pray about what you should do. I don't want to pray, he said. He jumped right out in the middle of the floor. He said, I don't want to pray. I want to go home. And I'm telling you, we've got adults that have that same opinion. I don't want to pray. I want it my way. I'm afraid to pray. I'm afraid God might change things if I pray. He might change my mind if I pray. So let's not pray. If your eye is single, the whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee... Look at that. Had you ever seen that? Take heed that the light that is in you is not, what's that next word? Darkness. Take heed that the light that is in, the eyes that you're looking through are not eyes of darkness that you're looking through, but it's eyes of the Lord. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part darkness, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Man, I think that is speaking volumes to us about our perspective in things. We're reflectors of the light of Jesus. He has a purpose in coming, in His coming, and it was light, is to give the light. It's the true light. You know, the devil done a lot of stuff to bring darkness. Matter of fact, the 400 years there that God did not speak, most scholars call that a period of darkness, 400 years of darkness. And then John the Baptist came along. And the light began to shine. You and I are living in the days of the light. Isn't that wonderful? That we're living in the days of light. Look at John 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's what I meant to say. 9:5, I think I've already mentioned that, but I'm going to say it again. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world, Jesus said. Light illuminates. Had you noticed Wes changed the lights in the kitchen? Did you notice how light it was in there? I don't know if there's... I don't think there's wind in this hallway here. If you close all those doors, it's dark in there. But the minute you open the door, and this light that is in here floods in there. You know, darkness doesn't have any power of its own. It's just the absence of light. The world is dark because of the absence of light. And your family's in the darkness because of the absence of light. My family's in darkness because of the absence of light. It's not that darkness has this ability to take over the light. It can't do it. It's the absence of light. Turn on the light, and the darkness has to flee. You switch on the light switch, and the darkness has to flee. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. We live in a world where the men love darkness because their deeds are evil. I want to give you about three more passages, and then I'm going to quit. You're in John, so turn to the 12th chapter, 35. Yet a little while, it's the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. Verse 36 says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Now what does that say to you? I tell you what it says to me. It says opportunity. Walk while you got light. Do your stuff in the... Make hay while the sun's shining. While you got the light, go with it. It's from faith to faith. When you get exposed to the light, go with that light. When the light comes, man, when the lights come on, head for it. Stay with it. Stay with that deal. Follow that deal. Don't allow the darkness to take over. But do it while you got the light. While the light's shining, stay with that light. Look down at verse 46. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness, should not live in darkness. Ephesians 5th chapter, look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. You know, it's not saying that you were in the darkness some of the time. That's not what it says. It says before you accepted Christ, you were darkness. That's tough stuff. Before you accepted Christ, you were darkness. If that's true, you remember what I said a while ago? Men, light a candle, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Here's the difference. If the head of the home is darkness, that darkness is tough stuff. But when the head of the home and the leader of the church, the leader of the home, the leader of your family, when those folks are light, this is how I think it goes. I think that God has ordained the husband be the head of the home. I think that's ordained by God, that he's to be the spiritual leader of the house. I think that next in that role is the wife. Now, I think that if the husband won't do his job, the wife has to do his job. She has to be the wife. I don't think that we throw the light out just because the husband is not doing his job. I think the wife has to do her job. I talk to people, I'm trying to get my husband to come to church out there. Well, why ain't you coming? Dummy? I didn't say that. The next one is the wife, and she's to give light. I'm telling you, there's been some kids raised right by a godly mother, and the husband wasn't fit to string up. And the wife did her job, and it made a difference in the kids' life. You know folks like that. Now guess what, young people? You're the next in line. If you're the older brother or the older sister, you're next in line. If you're giving a terrible example to that younger sibling, you're not doing your job. I think of what terrible, terrible influences older brothers and older sisters have been to younger siblings. It's not right. You're to be the light. You're next in line to give that light. And it's the same way in church. It's the same way in church. When you older youth, you got all these younger youth that are watching you and they're thinking, man, I'd like to be like that. I'd like to be that old. And it's your job to give the right kind of light to those that are under you. It's your job. Grandma and Grandpa, it's your job. You were sometimes darkness, but now you're light. He didn't say, you shine part of the time. He said, now you're light. You're what people are looking at. I want to tell you folks that you're the only Bible that some people ever read. You go to your job and you, whether you're teaching school or you're working at the factory or you're meeting down at the service station or you're down at Walmart, you are the only Bible that some people read. And this is what he says in verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, at one time darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. So whenever it's handy, is that what he said? Whenever it's handy. No, that's not what he said. You know that's not what he said. He said, walk as children of light. Me and your daughters is watching every move you make. They're watching your eyes. They're listening to your attitude. They're assuming that if you like a woman that's briefly dressed, I don't know, I just come up with that word. I don't know what, poorly dressed. And she thinks that you like that, that's going to be an influence in her life. I cannot imagine. Are you hearing me today? I cannot imagine you husbands letting your daughters dress inappropriately when you know how you look at inappropriately dressed women. How can that be? My daughter and I was sitting in when she, our oldest daughter, Lana, we're sitting in the pickup waiting for her mama to come out of the grocery store. And some woman was pushing a cart across the parking lot. And Lana turns to me. She's probably 11 or 12 years old. She said, gee, Dad, said you were really looking her over, wasn't you? And I said, I was not. She said, you were too. Said, your eyes just going like this. We were in supermarket together a while after that. We'd gone with Lyle to pick up some groceries at Conway. And this unappropriately dressed woman come down the aisle. And I wheeled to the cans that were in the shelves. But I was watching the eyes of my daughter, and the eyes of my daughter were on me. She was waiting to see what I was going to look like, what I was going to look, whether I was going to look or not, Bill. You were in darkness, but now you're light. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Be a light to your kids. Be a light to your spouse. Be a light in your family. Let's stand together. If you're here today and not a Christian, I want to urge you to make this decision to explore.